I have to confess that this is probably the hardest verse that I've looked at, but also had to speak on. And I reckon it's one of the hardest verses for us to follow. You know, last night I was watching the party going on in London, wishing that I was there to celebrate VE Day, Victory in Europe, 70 years. And as I was sat watching it, there were parts of it where I had tears streaming down my face. There were parts of it where I just felt immense joy. And I just wanted to honour those who've given so much that we can live in the freedom that we have. But actually, then I was reminded that there was even greater a victory that is being celebrated than victory in Europe. And that's a victory that Jesus gave and that Jesus brought. Some of this is not easy. Some of it I'm challenged by. Some of it might come across a bit, oh, but please bear with me. And hopefully God will just come. So Holy Spirit, just help. Okay, as some of you will know, we've been working through a series in Romans. Last week, Richard was speaking on verse 12, well, chapter 12, verses, was it 19 to 20? It's a good job I've got my notes. Can anyone remember the three J's that he was talking about? How to do the right thing when we have been wronged, especially as innocent. He mentioned three J's. No, it was people who did wrong, done against them. I'm all right if I stand here. So Joseph, Job, and Jesus, okay, they were the three innocents that had wrong done against them. And he was talking about not taking offence or revenge. He encouraged us to remember the source of wrong, so Satan, and it can be ourselves as wrong, people's thoughtlessness, which is often about ourselves, not about you, so don't take things personally. Can anyone remember the tube of toothpaste picture? So what was he saying about that? Yes, spurting out stuff, and once it's out, we can't put it back. So that certainly challenged me. And then if I had had the technological know-how, I would have had that little song, Let It Go, in the background. Because actually, he was also reminding us to let things go and give them to God. It's God who fights our battles. That it's the hardest thing to do, but it's also of great benefit to us if we can learn how to. So today, I get the privilege and the joy of the last little verse in that chapter. Bob was speaking on it too. If technology works. Yes, okay. So Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I looked at it. Now, I was supposed to have had last week's verses. Richard Miller, it's all your fault for having a 30th anniversary today. We agreed to swap. But actually, I've been so blessed in looking at this. Intentionally or unintentionally, we live daily under a barrage of verbal and emotional attacks, don't we? Whether we realise it or not. They could include threats of physical harm or physical abuse. You might have suffered a traumatic event. Somebody might have hurt your feelings intentionally or unintentionally. Maybe you found out that somebody lied to you. Or you didn't get that raise at work that you should have got. Perhaps your mate was unfaithful and you struggle with bitterness over being betrayed. You know, when I look at the world as a whole, there's what I suffer in comparison to where people are giving up their lives because they will not renounce Jesus. I am blessed and I have it easy in comparison to them, actually. And there are some amazing testimonies out there. And if you like Googling, go on to desiringgod.org. They've got a story of Graham Staines and his family, husband, wife, two sons and a daughter, and the husband and two boys. Well, they were all out in the missionary field, so to speak. And the husband and two boys got slaughtered because they would not renounce Jesus. The wife and the daughter had a choice. Do they stay and be obedient to God and follow out that calling? Or do they get full of anger, resentment and wrath and think, stuff you, I'm going home. They chose God's way and God blessed them. You can go and read all about that. Now, our desire should be that the enemy would come to know, our enemies would come to know the same mercy and grace that we find at the foot of the cross. So it's brilliant that actually being worshipping today, and it's all about him. It's not about us, and it's about getting before him. Rather than responding to the evil done against us with evil or vengeance, we're commanded to respond with the radical love of Christ that overcomes evil with good. You know, it's a command, the word don't be overcome by. It's not a if you fancy it, if you're feeling like it. It is a command. But God in his grace gives me a choice. Now I can choose how I respond. Since men became enemies to God, we've been very ready to be enemies one to another. Our natural response is to get angry when we're mistreated. And anger is okay, but it's about righteous anger. God's word is reminding us, don't return evil for evil or anger for anger. Getting upset isn't the way that God actually wants us to fight our battles. That's one that I'm still learning. That's one that I have learned in parts as well. When somebody hurts us, I've got a choice. I can trust God with my pain, with my injustice, and I can see anger overcome with good. I can choose not to react like the world. We read, don't we, turn the other cheek. No, but in reality, that's a really hard thing to do. That's why the little cartoons are there. I took your advice on turning my other cheek, but forgiving and especially forgetting might not be so easy right now with great big cheek, you know, handprints burning on your face. That's to be expected. We're encouraged to study and think about those things that make for peace. You know, as long as they're what God says, and they don't go against our conscience. It's that importance of learning to trust God and walk by faith when people don't treat us the way that really we should deserve. It's hard. Yeah. I was doing some reading, and John Calvin I came across, and I thought, wow, this is a bit strong, isn't it? The picture is, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. But he pointed out that returning evil for evil might not be as severe as revenge. I'm going to go and get you. No, but actually it's still forbidden. For example, he gives, your husband snaps unkindly at you and you respond by being cold to him. Well, I'm not talking to you at the moment. You're not plotting revenge. Your heart isn't evil, but actually you're not exactly blessing him. So the Bible would say you're returning evil for evil. And I'm like, oh, God. Or if someone makes a cutting remark to you, even in jest, you try and counter it. You're actually returning evil for evil. And that challenges me. I'm like, God, will you just help me that what comes out of my mouth? I'll screw up. You'll know that because you're my family here. So you might have been on the receiving end, in which case, I'm sorry. You know, one of my greatest challenges, and I've had to write it down, was whilst on holiday with family years ago. Because the morning of the last day, I was greeted in the kitchen by a very hostile and very angry dad. He began to accuse me of all sorts of wrongs. I was an innocent. It was like a knife being twisted in your heart. Had tears streaming down my face as I stood there and heard him saying he was disowning me. He no longer had an older daughter. There was to be no more contact with him, my stepmum, or my beautiful little sister. It was very painful. And I had a choice to make. Was I going to shout back? Was I going to let rain in frustration? Because I've been good at that in the past. Or was I going to let it go? Here was my dad, who I loved, warts and all. And suddenly I was able to see a man hurt him, for whatever reason, and responding in a way that only he knew how. And I can remember taking a deep breath, praying, replying that I loved him, if that was his decision, that would give him peace and the ability to continue to living, which I didn't really understand or agree with. I was devastated to hear it, but okay, I would always love him. And then I walked away. And it was tough. All you ever want from your parents is love, acceptance, approval, isn't it? It was the right thing to do, but I was tempted to have a go at him and others in the family who'd actually been telling lies. But I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit was there, and to my cousins who actually took me out of the house, and we come back to the rest a little later. But the world says, don't get mad, get even. You know, and my cousins were like, Lisa, don't just take it. You know, go in, have a go, get mad, get even. And I was like, no, guys, I can't do that. Actually, I love him. You know, our Lord says, Luke 6:27 to 20, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And at that moment in time, whether he realised it or not, my dad hated me, but I needed to do good to him. To take revenge is to respond to sin with more sin. It puts you on the same level as the one who sinned against you. It is difficult, but it's always wrong to respond to wrong with more wrong. No, revenge, it's motivated by selfishness and pride, actually. That doesn't honour our merciful God. It won't lead to the conversion of the one who sinned against you. You know, my dad doesn't know Jesus. I want him to have eternity with him. I don't want him in hell. That may well be a reality. We have to determine in advance that when we are wronged, we're not going to retaliate with more wrong. So that's a choice and a decision that we can make now. The right response when we're wronged is to do what is right towards our enemy. But it's not easy, is it? And our enemy can take all different shapes and forms. You know, my dad, my enemy at that time, and what he wanted was me gone. So actually what gave him peace in one twisted way was me removing myself from the room. But it's not our natural reaction, is it? You know, it requires submission to the indwelling Spirit of God to respond to wrongs by doing what is right. We can all wear masks, but masks slip, masks can fall. It's not about public opinion. Others think the same as me. That makes it right. No, it doesn't. If our thinking and our reactions run contrary to God's word, then guess what? He's saying it's wrong. And that, for me, that's hard because, you know, I like to think that I'm right, but actually I'm learning to keep going back to him. My cousins didn't understand why I wasn't completely angry and going to go and have a go at him. They couldn't understand that I just wanted to love him and still have him as part of my life. They didn't understand when I was talking about still wanting relationship. No, we should be thinking about our testimony to the watching world around us because we are watched. Whether you realise it or not, people are watching your every move, your every action, how you speak, the tone of voice, the actions that you take. And then they kind of make judgments on that about our God. Well, you know, there's no point in me going to church and being involved in them because they're still doing what I'm doing. So what difference does Christ make in your life? They watch us. What idea of the Christian faith will the world form when it sees or hears how we responded to the wrongs that was done to us? If we react with rage, we're not actually being good witnesses. But if we stop to think about our witness, Holy Spirit has that opportunity to come, act in this way, go that way, and we respond in a manner. Oop. Okay. So what God's saying in these verses is there is a right way and a wrong way to please him. And there's a right way and a wrong way to respond to injustice. We can get angry, we can get back at the person that hurt us, but then they end up winning, not us. Or we can fight God's fights, trust the way that God fights, trusting in him. No, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. That's his promise. Now, it's not just mere words, that's his promise. Back to me and my daddies. I can't change how people treat me or what they say about me. But what I can change is how I react. So in the years that followed, I'd pray. I found celebrations like Christmas, birthdays, Father's Day really difficult because they weren't a part of it. I couldn't even send, I could send cards, but I'd get nothing in response. I kept an account of how I was doing with some here and I got people to pray for me and for them. And eventually I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to write my dad and them a love letter. Now, I'm not exactly a lovey, you know, those words are not kind of part of my language sometimes. So I was like, hey, what? God, you want to what? And it was, I want you to write and express your feeling that you love him, that you miss him. And the challenge was to write something that wasn't trying to evoke an action on their part and a response from them. It was mere obedience to God. I actually gave the letter to somebody to read through, saying, is this okay? And they were like, well, is there not a bit more lovey-dovey that you could put in? And I'm like, that's as far as I can go, to step in the right direction. Now, when I did that, when I wrote that, it was hard. But when I sent it off, I was like, oh, God. And part of me was like, what am I going to get back in response? And then I thought, what does it matter what I get back in response? Not about that. Well, my having been obedient to God, I'm not even moving. I found healing and freedom in that. But what I got back was a letter of such hate and such rejection. It was awful to read, actually. But for the first time in my life, I didn't take it personally. I had such peace when I was reading through it because I knew my daddy in heaven, you know, and that relationship is the bee's knees. I didn't send back a response. It was an eye for an eye letter. I left it with God. I remembered who my real enemy was. It wasn't my dad. We just pause and see. Move back, forward, let stand there. Right, okay. I won't move my head either. I didn't take it personally. I didn't send back a response, an eye for an eye. You know, today, I find that I've actually had Facebook contact from my sister asking for forgiveness. I've been able to see them a couple of times. I've got... Okay, is that better? Yeah, woohoo. All right, I won't go back and repeat everything that I've just said. You can get my notes. Okay, so I didn't send an eye for an eye letter. I remembered who my real enemy was. I'm back in relationship with my sister and my dad and my stepmom in small steps. It's not perfect. It's not where I want it to be yet. But actually, God's there and God's in control. So, you know, thank you, God. But the biggest thing for me has been the relationship with God that has been going on in that time, how it's deepened what he's shown me. Some of you have known me a long time might, you know, realise that I might give a little hug every now and then now, whereas before it'd be like, oh, get lost. And I might actually tell you that I love you, that I've valued you, that I've appreciated you and used some of that love language that I didn't actually have before. Let's just sort out the papers. Okay. What's brilliant for me is that this is Romans 12:21 has got to be one of the most difficult scriptures in the Word of God to apply to our lives and to keep applying. I screw it up all the time, but God knows that I'm human. He knows that you're human. He knows that we make mistakes. And so the brilliant thing is he didn't leave us on our own to try and work it out. No, God's promise is when we know him, we're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But that doesn't mean that I don't have that internal battle going on all the time between the new man and the old. No, it is a battle. He recognises that. So he tells us in James 4:7, put on the whole armour of God. Helmet of salvation. If at some point in your life you said that little prayer to him, he remembers he's written your name on the palm of his hand. Breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shield of faith, sword of the spirit. And I've got shoes too, gospel of peace. They're what I can put on. And then Ephesians 6:11, whereby you may defend yourselves, that he cannot touch you, nor of the evil of sin that dwells in you. And then 2 Peter 2:19, nor of the evil of the man that's done you an injury, as you will be if you return evil for evil or take any steps and measures to avenge yourselves. For then not you, but he that has done you wrong will be the conqueror. Well, I don't know about you, but, you know, I want to live a victorious life. So that means I need to be submitting more to God and submitting my emotions, my natural feelings as well. And what's brilliant is he gave us the Holy Spirit. So don't forget his fruit and his gifts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, if we feel like we haven't got self-control, guess what? We can ask the Holy Spirit for more. If we haven't got patience, that would have been me. He gives us more patience. It's amazing. And then in my research, I came across, I can't remember who wrote it, but it was his kind of heart's longing. It was, oh, how far is even the living church from exhibiting the whole character and spirit so beautifully portrayed in the latter verses of this chapter. So go away and read Romans 12, 12 to 21. What need of a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to this? And how fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners will the church become when at last instinct with this spirit, the Lord hasten it in its time. That's my prayer, that we keep the cross central, that we keep open to the Holy Spirit. Because can you imagine what we would be like if we are as transparent, as appealing, as a brilliant moonlight, you know, as a church? What glory God would get then. Awesome. So that's a challenge, as is using two hands. You know, there is a freedom in doing the right thing, and we can choose to do what's right no matter how we feel. I'm learning I have to stop being afraid of hard things and actually press in and trust God in all of those things, because actually the truth is he will give us the strength and grace to do anything we need to do. I'm learning that with health too. If you've got things in your mind where you thought, well, I've blown it, I did that, I said that, I responded to that, well, I haven't spoken to that person in years, well, I'm not speaking to him. You know, actually, we can think that it's too late, but it's never too late. Humble yourself. Go to that person, or if that person isn't around, get before God and say that you were sorry, that you did wrong, and ask for forgiveness. And it's not about getting an action back from them. It's not about them saying, oh, thanks, Philippa, now I forgive you, all is okay. Actually, they might turn around and go, yeah, whatever, and walk away. But that's okay, because it's not personal against you. It's the enemy at work. It's more important what our reaction is. It is harder to live with anger than it is to live with God's peace, his joy, and his love. I'm learning I have to take responsibility for my behaviour, what I give out, but also what I receive. One of the best things we can do is learn to pray for the people that we're mad at. You know, boy, have I done some praying for some people over time. I was reading Joyce Meyer, and she encourages that the first thing to do when somebody mistreats you is to pray. So is there anyone that springs into your mind? You know, I mean, it was good that with communion and what Trevor was saying, and there I am getting frustrated. Sorry, Trevor. But actually, he's speaking what God is saying, you know. Be with one another, forgive one another. But if we're feeling that a situation or a person has let us down, mistreated us, then make the following a prayer. And what I've done is over on the back table by the box of tissues, there's some little slips of paper that you could use as a bookmark. You can fold in half and put into your wallet. But if you're just going to bin it, leave it on the table, okay? And because it's got the prayer printed on it along with some of the key scriptures. And I'm going to read out this prayer. So if there are people or situations that come into your mind, just quietly, you know, you don't have to blur out that we can all hear, but just in your heart, be right before God. You know, God, this hurts and I'm angry about it, but I know my anger won't solve the problem or change the person. So I choose to trust you. I'm going to stay sweet and keep being nice. I'm going to keep doing good because that's what you put me here for.
And as I trust you and go about blessing others, I'm going to watch you vindicate me and do what needs to be done in this situation. Amen. That is the way to fight and win your battles. That's what I'm learning. Make a decision today that you're going to refuse to live a life of anger, bitterness, wrath, and revenge. Ask God to help you take control of your feelings. We don't submit to them. They submit to us. And they submit to God even more, okay? If we act out in anger, confess it. If it involves another person, go and confess it to them. Ask for their forgiveness. But if it's just us, go and get right before God. And the beauty is God forgives us. There will be a lot of battles in life, but God has an amazing plan for each and every one of us in this room. As you put your focus on him as your vindicator, it becomes easier and easier to conquer angry feelings. It's not a walk in the park, but he promises to be in that walk with us. And we do become a blessing as we overcome evil with good. And Rich spoke about benefits last week, rewards. 1 John 2 talks about rewards as well. Now, some of the benefit to us of not living with those negative emotions is less stress. That has a physical impact on our bodies. You know, anger, unforgiveness, resentment, they have an impact in our lives. But look at these benefits. Okay, I am promised spiritual food. I don't have to wait until I'm in heaven. I've been given the rights to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. But I can be eating of that now. I haven't got to wait until I'm with him. I'm given a new name. I don't quite know what it is. I'm hoping and trusting one day that I will know. But it's a name that my spiritual dad has given me, and he's got a name for each and every one of you. I'm given authority over the nations. I'm given a robe of righteousness. You know, my name will never be blotted out from the book of life, neither will yours. He acknowledges my name before the Father and the angels in heaven. You know, he's there before them going, look at my Louise. She doesn't know it, but I'm watching her. He's so pleased with you. He is so pleased with you. And when you have that amazing servant heart, and you don't realise just how you get alongside people. I said to you the other day, but it's prompted me now, so that this is me learning and being obedient, you know. So it's wanting you to know he has your name engraved on the palm of his hands. He never forgets you. He will never leave you. You know, so trust in him. And that's the encouragement for all of us. Trust in him. Give him those things. We are a pillar in the temple of our God. I mean, how cool is that? Not everyone will get to say that. We are beauty being created. I can't wait to see it in full. To him who overcomes enthronement, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Wow. It's not like Buckingham Palace where you can go and have a little look around at some things, but you can't go and sit on the throne. I can go and sit in my Heavenly Father's throne with him. And, you know, I think, God, can I just stay there, please? And I'm learning about that, just staying in that place. But, you know, life has a habit as well. And then I'm given an inheritance. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and he will be my son. That's some of the benefits that come. It's hard. God recognises that. That's why we're not left on our own and left to our own devices. And I nicked one of Richard's pictures from last week. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. Because I felt God was saying, I want to enlarge your futures individually and corporately. You might not realise it, Nathan. You know, but God called you and your family to be part of this family because he wants to enlarge your borders, your territories. There are things that we are to learn from one another. There are things to give to one another. And when I was before him, you know, he was reminding me of the brilliant victory that he has won. But I know that there are people struggling. So does God. He said you could be struggling with illness, with debt, with resentment, with unforgiveness, with jealousy, with guilt. He knows your every thought. He knows your every need. And he's here today. Your head actually might be full of lies, taunts, doubts. He's wanting to come and whisper his words of truth that set you free. This was a weird one. Felt like someone was feeling like someone or something is out to get you, that you're constantly looking over your shoulder in fear. Well, he's saying, come to the cross. Just come to the cross. All you have to do is take that step forward. That's it. Come to the cross. Choose to give permission for the Holy Spirit to come and love you, woo you. He's got songs of delight that he wants to sing over us as good gifts and fruit that he wants to give. If you don't have a relationship with God, you don't know what it is that we're talking about, come and talk to us. Let us introduce you to Jesus. And then for some, we need help to overcome. Could be all sorts of different things. So talk to your friends. Talk to someone who you know. Come forward. Whether today or in the week, you know, some of us get together in fellowship groups. Youth is beginning to sort of mould and shape. So we will be there by September, Jess. We have a pastoral team, but we are one people who are supposed to be one anothering. So let's get on with the one anothering. There are some of you who think you've blown it and you can't ever make it right. Well, God says, no, you can't, but I can. Some of us get stirred by the injustice that we see around us. Perhaps God is calling you to action. It might be intercessory prayer, or it might be getting involved practically or physically in getting alongside people in the community. Or you might think, what is this armour of God? How do I apply these truths from these past weeks? I can't battle. I'm exhausted. I can't do it on my own. Well, you don't have to. You know, God's placed us in family, and family, we get together and we battle together and we support one another. So seek the help of those that God's placed around you. So that's kind of what I felt. You're saying, but there was a lot of, you know, don't let evil, don't give back evil for evil, you know. And the beauty is that actually God helps us. He's helped me. I wouldn't be here today, actually, if it wasn't for him. So I just want to pray. So, yeah, Father, I just want to thank you that you are my daddy, that you are our father in heaven, that you are nothing like our earthly fathers, whether that has been good experiences or negative experiences. You are so much better. You are perfect in all of your ways, and you never leave us. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come and have your way amongst us, that what is bathwater you just chuck out, but what is truth would remain, and that, Lord, we would touch heaven. And Father, as we touch heaven, you would come and change our earth so that we would see you glorified. Amen.